We welcome in John Longmire, who is about to start his seventh year at the Swans. John, how are your eyes?
Not too bad at the moment. I'm okay, particularly when I've got a set of binoculars in there.
Well, look after your horse if you need a new set of glasses. Don't worry, mate.
How was Christmas, the break? Did you get any time to just think about anything other than footy, horse?
Yeah, it did, actually. I always find the Christmas break a really good time. But, particularly you get through to a grand final and you go straight into trades and draft, and obviously your pre-Christmas period's fairly busy these days. You don't get a real chance to shut down after the season itself's finished. But the Christmas time's fantastic. You get back to the bush and spend some time back there and really enjoy it.
And the wedding, Johnny, we know that it was a very private affair, Buddy's wedding, but did you enjoy it?
I didn't go. It was very low key, Tim.
Oh, dear.
Very low key.
Oh, dear. How's the relationship between you and Buddy?
No, it's fine. No, it's all good. We spoke about it. The fact that it was coming up, there wasn't very many of us knew it was going to happen, actually. So I thought they did a wonderful job to keep it as quiet as what they did. And they were able to really enjoy a fantastic fantastic day. So really good. They kept it quiet.
Put your foot in it there, Tim.
Well, I've got to say, that's probably the first coach that has never been invited to a player's
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the relationship between Johnny and Buddy, but I'm just saying that's probably the first coach.
No, I think they might have been worried I was going to put it on my Instagram.
Well, you got a 35-year deal. You're sort of secure and you don't need the love of the coach. Hey, just, we've been speaking about the Super Bowl yesterday, John. I know you're not enormous into American sports, but what do you learn out of watching a game like that when you see Belichick and Brady and a huge comeback like that?
Oh, just how good a star like Tom Brady. I mean, just to be able to watch what he did yesterday and be under that much pressure and be able to stand up and come back and deliver what he was able to do was just incredible to watch. I mean, it was just amazing. They're a fantastic organisation, the Patriots, and have enormous self-belief and are led really well. So it was just incredible. It's just the ability of a player, and we know how much pressure the quarterbacks are under to be able to deliver under that sort of heat. It's sensational.
Horace, before you move on and get your teeth into 2017, the school thought you got to deal with 2016, and that, for you, unfortunately, involves dealing with the really disappointing grand final result. How do you deal with it? Have you watched it? How many times have you watched it? Have you served it up to the playing group?
Oh, we dealt with it quite a while ago. We dealt with it straight after the game. Gary, with the Wednesday afterwards, we sat down and watched it and went through it. And that's the best way of dealing with it, is just to confront it. And
with the playing group?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I just watched it beforehand, and then we sat down and watched it as a group, and then and talked about it. And you need to really look at the areas like we always do to improve and get it better at, and some of the areas that we did well, and then we put it to one side and get on with it. I mean, there was no point sitting over the summer and waiting for to address it when we get back in pre-season. We need to do it straight away, which is what we did.
And part of that, I'd imagine, is having a look at the whole thing, and the umpiring was undeniable part of it. It was a free kick count of 20-8. There were a couple of contentious decisions. Did you have cause to perhaps discuss that officially with the AFL?
Yeah, we had a chat. But it's all done and dusted, isn't it? After the event. So
what was the tone of the chat?
Really, to see what they thought about the umpiring. just a general inquiry. That's not unusual. I've had a number of chats. I think, in a general sense, put the grand final to one side. We need to put more resources into the umpiring, and the umpires need to spend more time working on their craft. As far as it's very difficult, obviously, with the whole industry, I guess, going full time, and to have the part time umpires. I understand there's probably not an absolute full time role there, but to be able to spend more time working on your craft and is really important in the industry to get better at it. And hopefully, I understand there was a heap when 32 went overseas during the off season, and it'd be interesting to see what come out of it.
Would that be your recommendation, to try and get the stage where we can have a full-time umpiring panel?
Oh, look, there's probably needs to be stays. I mean, Paul Roos has been talking about it for probably 10 years and it hasn't got there. So, look, I think whatever you do, the more time you spend working at your craft, generally you get better at it. And if there's more time spent and the coaching resources are able to be developed, can and put more time into any part of the industry, I think that's got to be a good thing. And, you know, it's certainly a pretty important part of the game, and it's such a complicated game to umpire that hopefully more resources get thrown at it.
Hey, Johnny, your club has had in probably the last decade great leadership. Sometimes it's been a single captain, sometimes it's been shared. But right now, Josh Kennedy is the captain of the Sydney Swans. What is it that you look for in a captain?
You need to have a good mix of driving the group and driving the group pretty hard at times, but also a really good feeling for the group and a good mix of empathy and showing the ability to be able to relate across the entire team. You know, a list of 46 players and you've got blokes 18 years of age turning up in their first season of AFL footy, getting their head around it right through to the 33, 34-year-olds. It's a wide group of players that you need to be able to relate to, and we've been fortunate to have some great leaders here over the time, and Kieran and Macca are certainly wonderful and strong in our leadership group, which is a fantastic resource for Josh to be able to draw upon. And you know, Josh has jumped right into the job. He's loving it and doing a really good job.
Was that a player vote? How do you decide the captain?
No, our leadership group always gets voted on by the players, but the captains always get decided on by the match committee. So yeah, that's been certainly since my time here as a coach, that's the way we've worked it.
John, one of your low-key players is Buddy Franklin. What is a torn anterior labrum?
A cook shoulder.
he's rejoined training. Is he sort of back in full work, as they say?
Yeah, he is. Look, he actually had his shoulder during the season, on the back end of the season, and was able to play with it, which was fantastic. I mean, he's had a lot of courage to be able to play with it, as did Sam Naismith. And those two boys had their shoulders done after the season had finished. Lance has been training. He's just got a bit of a sore ankle at the moment, but he's been doing more of the training. We expect him to train again this week. And, you know, he's not far away from contact. He's done a little bit already, and that'll be up again next week.
Talking to John Longmire, the Sydney Swans coach, Alex Johnson's had an horrendous run, 5 knee reconstructions. He ran in September last year for the first time in 902 days, which was great news. Are you expecting him to play this year, John?
I'm hopeful, Tim. And, you know, as you'd imagine, the last game he played was the 2012 grand final. So,
unbelievable, isn't it?
Some time ago, and to go through 5 knee reconstructions is it's just been incredible. His ability to be able to bounce in every day to training and get stuck into it's something I've never seen that before, as far as his determination and his positivity around the place. We're really hopeful, and he's running, and we're hopeful that he's able to get in the ball work over the next month or two, but we're not putting any sort of list of demands or expectations on him at this stage.
Speaking of Johnny Longmire, coach of the Sydney Swans, horse, we love to see new talent emerge, and we all watch the under-18s with great interest. Oliver Florent was a player, when I was watching it, I looked at it, I loved the way he moved. I believe he's made a bit of an impact.
Yeah, he's been good, Gary. He was our first selection in the draft last year. We've seen him as that running player who can link up. He's a very good decision maker, really light on his feet. And, you know, getting used to the move to Sydney, he's been terrific at that. And he's training really well at the present time. So we've seen developing into, you know, starting as that high half forward, developing into a midfield player who can play inside and outside and be a good distributor. So, you know, and so far we've seen a lot of that at training, so he's going along really well.
You got the intra-club on Friday, John. How many of your best sort of 30 won't be playing on Friday?
It's a good question at the moment, Hamish. We're working through that now. So, you know, players like Lance and Naismith and Luke Parker, Gary Rowan, those guys won't be playing. But most of our younger kids will be playing, and a few of the senior boys as well. So we're working through that at the present time. We'll have a few of the senior boys won't be playing this week or the first game against North Melbourne up in Coffs Harbour, but hopefully most of them come back around the second or third game.
Gaining players, losing players is all part of this business, Johnny, as we know. Tommy Mitchell leaving, heading to Hawthorn. Your reaction to that?
Look, I couldn't have asked him any more, Tommy, last year as far as how he played. He was fantastic. I mean, obviously in the last year of your contract and a little bit of speculation around the place, it can be hard at times to focus on the task at hand, but he did it really well last year.
When did you know Tom was going?
Oh, at, you don't really turn your focus into it until the end, right at the end of the year. But you get an understanding that obviously you haven't re-signed right up to the pointy end that you think is probably going to end up going, and he handled it really well. I couldn't complain with the way Tom handled it last year. I thought he handled it in a really mature manner.
Johnny, how does a player play in a grand final, Xavier Richards, and then, you know, we're starting in a pre-season and he's going to play local footy, if at all, having been offered a two-year contract to stay?
It's probably not a question for me, but I think it's a question for Xavier, to be honest. I've been asked about it a few times, as you'd imagine. I really haven't got the answer for it. It was, as you described, we offered him a two-year contract, he knocked it back, and at the moment he's not playing AFL footy. So, it's just one of those things that probably Xavier's better off answering it than me. That's a better extent of it from our point of view.
Should he be playing in AFL somewhere, Johnny?
He should be on an AFL list somewhere. He's played the back 10 games of the season, and he was able to play four finals games, including a grand final. He's very athletic and had a lot going for him. So that's why we offered him another contract. I think there's a bit of uncertainty in the football world with a salary cap. Not really sure what that looks like. And I think when it gets down to the nitty-gritty in some of those negotiations across the competition, maybe some of the other clubs, I don't know, we can't speak on their behalf, but did they know exactly what it was and how that impacted on maybe a decision of Xavier Richards? I'm not too sure.
It remains one of the unanswered questions. Hopefully we can hear from Xavier at some stage. Chase that up, Wispy, you know, the family. Callum Mills, rising star, absolute jet. Does the midfield call him, or does he stay across halfback?
He's pretty good halfback, Gary.
He is.
He's a really good player. He's courageous. He's great overhead. He's got everything a halfback needs. But we also think he's going to be a pretty good midfielder. I think he'll be spending a bit more time in the midfield this year. Obviously, with Tommy going, players like Isaac and Callum, those guys will be coming through our midfield a little bit more. Georgie Hewitt, and really we'll play him where we need him. But I think this year he'll probably spend a bit more time in the midfield, but still spending some time at halfback.
Also, I know you've got a big day ahead of you, but 8 games in Victoria this year, it's not a bad time to be a member of the Swans if you live in Vic.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I think since the mid-90s we've had down in Victoria, so our Victorian members are absolutely over the moon. I was down there last week catching up with a few of them, and they're really excited by it. We think we've got a wonderful commercial draw this year, and a lot of Friday night, Thursday night games and 8 games in Victoria. So we're certainly happy that Victorian members jump on board, because it'd be great to see a lot of the Swans playing Victoria this year.
Great to speak to you, John, and good luck in 2017.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Johnny.
Membership.sydneyswans.com.au. Membership.sydneyswans.com.au. 8 games in Victoria this year.